अरे वाह,
हरे कृष्ण महाराज, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ऑब्लिजेंसेस और गुरु श्री श्री गोपाल महाराज, थैंक यू सो मच।
I got the message wrong, so sorry about that. Was thinking
यार ये
one
क्या है,
hour later, but it's 1 hour earlier.
यस ओके।
Okay, so I'm ready to go. You can speak about Lord Chaitanya if you like.
थैंक यू मच।
Okay, sorry about that. Om Gyan Chakshu Unmilitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nere Sesa Sunyavari Pastyatyade Satarine Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripasindubhye Prajapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, in the mood of his own devotee, Srimati Radharani. As Krishna in Vrindavan, he performed pastimes in different ages of himself, his Bal age, his Pagunda age, and his Kaishori age. The sweet pastimes, they're all sweet, but the sweeter ones are in the Bal, when Krishna was a little boy. Because as children sometimes are very mischievous and they do things that to upset their parents or just do things just to enjoy doing things differently. The mischievous nature of children, it's there. And it says that the more intelligent a child is, the more mischievous he is. This is what Srila Prabhupada has told us, that that mischievousness is a sign of, in children, it's a sign of intelligence. When it's done not in a mean-spirited way, if it's done mean-spirited, it means that the child is, something's wrong. But if it's done just as their simple childlike nature, and that's what Krishna exhibited, his childlike nature. So he would steal butter, you know, he would lie. he would play with his friends. When his mother would call him, he wouldn't come. Or when he was playing with his friends, they would play different games in a mischievous way. So Prabhupada used to say, where does that quality of mischievousness come from? Because we see it in this world, it's a perverted reflection of the reality. For Krishna, it's very sweet and loving, and it charms people's hearts and it attracts them to Krishna even more. And many times it makes them laugh. But when we do it, sometimes it causes people distress or anxiety. When it is done as a little tiny young toddler, 2 or 3 years old, sometimes it's seen as fun for everybody. But, you know, Krishna was very mischievous. And then when he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had that same nature. He didn't give it up in that particular Leela. And so he would do that. And when he became the most mischievous was, he liked going to school. As a young boy, he enjoyed his studies and he did really good in his studies. And his mother and father saw that his brother, Vishwaroop, was also very much interested in study. And then he became interested in studying scripture. And then eventually he understood that the purpose of life is to become fully God conscious. So he wanted to exhibit that in the best possible way. So he would go to Advaitacharya and hear more and more knowledge about scripture. And then one day he never came back. He left home, he took sannyas, traveled, and never was again connected with his family in any way. So his parents, Mother Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, sawing how their older child was very studious, and now their younger child was also very studious. So they were thinking, this is not good. If he becomes too intelligent, then he'll follow the path of his brother, and then we'll lose him also. So they decided to take him out of school. Of course, before they took him out of school, sometimes he would also perform some of his mischievous activities. But when they took him out of school, he was really playing mischief all the time. And so he wanted to go to school, but they took him out. And the neighbors would say, boy, our child doesn't like to go to school. We have to force him. And your child likes to go to school and you're taking him out. They couldn't understand. So when they take him out, and he would get with some of his friends and they would do all kinds of stuff. So they would go, sometimes two or three of them, they would put a blanket over themselves and then they would go into somebody's garden and act like a bull and knock down some of the trees, the smaller trees, and break some of the plants. And then they would see, people would keep what they call a scarecrow, kind of a dummy of a man in the middle of the field to scare away the crows, but they would knock it down. And then they would run away and break things. And then sometimes people would go into their place, because in India, in order to take care of nature, you didn't have a place in the house. This was considered to be unclean to have any kind of toilet in the same house as you sleep and you eat. It's considered to be very unclean. So the toilet was always a distance away and people would have to get out, get up and go to that place. And so in India, you see, and you know, that there are locks on the inside of the doors and there's locks on the outside of the doors too. So when people would go in to take care of nature, he would lock them in from the outside and then he would run away. This was one of his pranks. He would do all kinds of mischievous. And then, of course, whenever he would be caught, he would just say, it wasn't me. So in this way, he would perform his activities. When he was going to school, sometimes he would also do mischievous things. Sometimes before he would go home, he would go down, after he finished school, he would go down to the banks of the Ganga. And the Brahmins would be there and they would be taking their bath. And you know, in India, they have the ghats where the ladies bathe on one side and the men bathe on the other side. And before they bathe, they leave their clothes on the bank of the ghat and go in. So what he would do He would take the clothes of the men and put it on the women's side, and take the clothes of the women and put it on the men's side. So the men would come out and see all kinds of saris and cholis and other kinds of things. They didn't understand how that happened. So he would do that. And he would like to chide the Brahmins, because he knew the Brahmins weren't real Brahmins, some of them. They were just Brahmins in names. So they would go into the water, and they would be there chanting Gayatri. So they would go up to their waist, waist deep in the water, and chant Gayatri. And he would come and pull their legs out, and they would fall into the water. And then he would also, sometimes when they were doing their Gayatri, he would go underwater, and then he would come up with a mouthful of water and spit the whole mouthful of water in their face and then swim away. So this was some of his activities. And go on. And after a while, the Brahmins got a little disgusted, so they decided to do something. So they went to tell his parents, especially his father. So the Brahmins got together and they reported all his nonsense. And then his father was all ready with a stick to chastise him. So before he got home, his friends would say, "Oh, the Brahmins came to tell your father about what happened at the ghat today. So do something, Nimai." So what he would do is that he would make his clothes full of dust and put ink all over his fingers. And then he would come home. And then his father would get ready to chastise him. He said, "I never went to the ghat today. You can see my clothes are all dusty and I still have inks on my fingers. I didn't even go today. They're just making up stories. That's all."
Oh yeah, breakfast.
So he would not only perform mischief, but he would sometimes would lie about it. And of course, because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's always pleasurable, at least to some people. But he would perform his activities. Sometimes he would go to the women's side, and the women, the young girls, the girls that were just approaching puberty, they would make a little Shiva Linga, and then they would worship Lord Shiva with the idea of getting a good husband, because Lord Shiva is endowed with that Shakti. Those who were brought up in the Indian culture, you know, they worship Lord Shiva in order to get a qualified husband. And that's mentioned in Shastra also. So the girls were doing their little worship. So they would put a Shiva Linga there, and they would get their flowers and their different articles of worship. And then he would come, and he would take the Shiva Linga off the little altar they made, and he would sit on the altar and say, "Worship me. If you worship me, I guarantee you, you will have 7 very intelligent sons and a very qualified and handsome husband." And the girls would get all upset. "Oh, Nimai, what are you talking about? You're offending Lord Shiva." And he would say, no, Lord Shiva, he's my devotee." And they couldn't understand what he was talking about. And then if he saw that they weren't listening to him, he would say, "But if you don't worship me, then I will curse you, that you'll be one of 7 co-wives and you'll have an old and ugly husband." So then he would say that to the girls. And after some time, some of the girls would think, "Boy, he's got some power." They didn't know whether to believe him or not. And sometimes he would do some real mischief. He would take okada seeds. And these are kind of a seed that comes from a particular fruit called okada seeds. And they're very sticky. extremely sticky, so he would take a whole bunch of okada seeds and he'd throw it into the hair of the girls, and they get all these sticky seeds in their hair, and then he would laugh. So he was very mischievous, and so this would go on. Yeah, because you know this is the nature of the Supreme Personality of God. He likes to enjoy various types of ways to give pleasure to others, although it appears that he's causing people distress. Outwardly, sometimes they act like they're distressful, but inwardly they feel this kind of happiness coming, because he would arrange for them to feel nice at the same time while he would perform his mischievous. Sometimes when he would be at home, one time he went and he saw his mother, and she was going somewhere. So he said, "Mother, where are you going?" She said, I'm going to worship the goddess Shasti. And in order to give protection to you." And he would say, "What do you have?" And she would say, I'm taking some sanjess for the goddess Shasti." And he would say, "No, you give it to me." "I want to say, no, you can't take the offering for Shasti. No, please give it to me." And if she wouldn't give it, he would grab it and take it and eat it. And then she would say, "Oh, you have offended the goddess. This is bad. You'll suffer from that." And he would just say, "Yeah, she's my devotee." And I couldn't understand what he was talking about. One time he saw his mother outside. It was in the evening time. So he said to his mother, "I want the moon." She said, "How? Well, how do I give you the moon?" He said, "I want the moon. Give me the moon." So she took out a mirror and made a reflection of the moon in the mirror. And then she gave it to him and said, "There's the moon." And he said, "Oh, thank you. You were very intelligent." Another time, he said to his mother, "I'm hungry." She said, "Well, you have to wait. I have to go do some worship first. But after the worship, then I will come and prepare a meal for you." No, I want it now." "I'm sorry, but you have to wait because I have to worship." And he would get upset. So he'd go in the house and he'd take a stick and he would break all the pots of ghee and atar and rice, and he would throw everything all over the place. And then he would take a stick and break the windows. And then he would just destroy the whole house. And then he would go to sleep. And then he would wake up and he would say to his mother, "I'm hungry." And she would say, "My dear, you broke everything. There's nothing left in the house to cook. We don't have, how will I cook for you?" He said, "Oh, okay, I'll be right back." So he went away for a few minutes and he came back and he had 2 tolas of gold. And he said, "Here, mother, here's some gold. You can purchase something with this." So she was thinking, "Where is he getting this gold from?" She couldn't figure it out. So this way he would perform so many mischievous activities with his friends. When he was really small, him and his friends were playing and they came across a little herd of puppies, really sweet puppies. And so they were playing and Nimai said, "I want this puppy. I'm going to take this puppy." And another one of his friends says, no, I want that puppy. He's the best puppy. I want that. No, I'm taking it." So they started to fight. But Nimai said, "No, I'm going to take the puppy." So he took it and took it home. So he had the puppy at home and then he was playing with it. And then his mother came in and said, "Nimai, what are you doing playing with a dog? This is not This is not Brahmin. Brahmins don't play with dogs. This is unclean. And he said, oh, no, no, I love my puppy very much. This is my puppy. I like my puppy. So please let me keep my puppy. And so she was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? He wants the puppy. So she said, oh, okay, go ahead, go take your bath, and I'll take care of your puppy. When you come back, you can play with him again. So he left to take his bath. And then she took the puppy, and she let the puppy go. And then when he came back, he said, Mother, where's my puppy? And she said, I don't know. He was just here. I don't know what happened. He's gone. And he said, no, no, you let my puppy go. She said, oh, no, I don't know what happened. He just was here, and now he's gone. So then he went into the town looking for his puppy. And there was the puppy in the town. And there was a kirtan going on somehow. And the puppy started to dance. And that puppy got up on his two hind legs with his two front legs upward and his two hind legs on the ground. And he was dancing. And as he was dancing, he fell over and died. And just at that time, an airplane, small little airplane, came from Vaikuntha and took the soul of that puppy and brought it back to the spiritual world. So just by that association with little Nimai, that puppy went back to Godhead. So that's a beautiful story, the puppy story. The Lord took another dog back to Godhead at another time. This was when the Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri and he had taken sannyas. He was living there with many of his associates, but many of his associates were at Navadvip. So every year, during the Rathayatra season, just before, the devotees would organize a caravan, and all the devotees would get together that were in Navadvip, and they would go to Jagannath Puri. Usually it took many weeks to get there. And so Shivananda Sen, he was in charge of taking care of the devotees during this his trek to Jagannath Puri. So he would arrange for their prasadam and he would arrange for their accommodations. He did all the organizing for the devotee seva. So one day a dog entered into the group of devotees and was following along. So Shivananda Sen was thinking, oh, Krishna has sent this dog to come with us, so I must take care of it. So he took care of that dog also, like he took care of the devotees. Because for a great devotee, they don't make a distinction. They see in the hearts of all living entities, there is Krishna's there and the soul is there. So he was taking care of the devotees nicely. And many times they would have to pass through these different toll booths. So sometimes the toll directors would say, no, no dogs can pass here. And he would give extra money just to get the dog through. So this happened a few times. So one time when he came to one toll booth, there was some problems with the papers. So he had to stay back and organize it. And he told the rest of the devotees, you go ahead and I'll join you later and take care of the dog. Make sure you feed the dog. So he stayed behind, took care of the papers, and then he caught up with the rest of the group. And when he got there, he was looking for the dog, but he didn't see the dog anywhere. He said, what happened to the dog? Did you feed the dog? Oh, they said, we forgot to feed the dog. We're sorry. Oh, the dog had left. So they continued, and Shivananda Sen was feeling very unhappy because here Krishna sent this dog and we didn't take care of him nicely. So finally, when they got to Jagannath Puri, After some time, they went directly to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the etiquette. They wouldn't go to the temple first. They would always go to see the Lord first. And then the Lord, after getting the Lord's darshan, he would instruct them, now you go see Jagannath and take darshan. That was the usual etiquette. So when they got to the place where Lord Chaitanya was staying, the dog was there, the same dog. And Lord Chaitanya was taking green coconut pulp and throwing it to the dog and saying, chant Hare Krishna. And as it's described in the scriptures, the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. And so this was going on. Lord Chaitanya was having fun throwing coconut pulp to the dog. And finally, that same day, later on that day, that dog left his body and it was understood he went back home, back to Godhead. So there was two incidents where Lord Chaitanya took a dog back to Godhead. So if he can take a dog back to Godhead, we have a chance to get back. As long as we don't become like a tiger. If we become like a tiger, then it might be a little harder to get back to Godhead. But if we remain like a nice puppy dog and get the chant like that dog was chanting and the other one was dancing, so if we chant and dance, and then even if we have a nature like a dog, we can make it back to Godhead. So that's Lord Chaitanya. He's Patita Pavana Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Pava Napai Bayar. He's the most merciful. He wants to see all living entities become Krishna conscious. One time Srila Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, how will the non-moving living entities benefit? Non-moving living entities are like the plants and the creepers and the trees, like that. How will these non-living entities benefit? And Lord Chaitanya responded by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because we see that even these living entities in these particular bodies, they also can perceive some sound and some light, depending. And there was a experiment done by Jagadish Chandra Bose. And he experimented with plants, and he would play music to the plant. And when the music was very sweet, the plant would grow, would show signs of blooming. And when the music was the other way around, like rock and roll or something like that, then the plant would go down and shrivel up. So plants, trees, creepers, flowers, they also can perceive light and perceive sound to some degree. We don't know how much. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, seeing the mercy of Srila Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur said, how will the non-moving living entities benefit? And Lord Chaitanya said, by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, so these are some of the wonderful pastimes leading up to Lord Chaitanya's appearance coming up in 2 days on Sunday. So preparing our hearts and minds by hearing the pastimes of the Lord and learning what he wanted us to learn in terms of his teachings. What are his main teachings? His main teachings are chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, serve the Vaishnavas, to please the Vaishnavas, and preach Krishna consciousness to the unfortunate fallen souls. Namruchi Vaishnav Seva Jivadoya. This is the 3-point program of Lord Chaitanya. And he emphasized these things. Of course, he preached a lot through Harinam. That's how he preached. But many times he also discussed philosophy. He did that with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He did it with Prakasananda Saraswati. And who else? I think there was one more he discussed. Yeah, he also discussed Leela with Ramananda Roy, like that. So the Lord made an effort to bring the knowledge, transcendental knowledge, to the conditioned souls and through various means like that. But mainly his emphasis was on chanting, dancing, and serving Vaishnavas. And even sometimes when there would be a feast and the devotees would be there, he would ask all the devotees would sit down, and he would serve the feast. He would serve his devotees by passing out the prasadam. He liked to serve his devotees in different ways. He always thought of ways to serve his devotees. Sometimes he would fold their clothes. Sometimes he would do something for them. Sometimes he would make them laugh. He would do so many things just to please his devotees. He went out of his way just to give his devotees everything in Krishna consciousness in such a wonderful way. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very sweet, very loving, very personal, and of course, extremely, extremely merciful. But he also was very strict. When he found people offending devotees, he became very upset and angry. And when people were speaking about philosophies that were contrary to prema bhakti, pure devotional service, he would also become like Lord Nrisingadev sometimes. So Lord Chaitanya was soft as a rose and as hard as a thunderbolt. He was both according to the situation. But devotees know him for being so sweet and very personal. Okay, so these are a few of the many unlimited leelas of Lord Chaitanya. We have Chaitanya Bhagavat, we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have Chaitanya Mangala. We have the notes, we have the poetry of Murari Gupta, which is called, Murari Charita? Something Charita, I can't remember the first name. Chaitanya Charita. So there's many, many different types of books, philosophies that are written about Lord Chaitanya. And there's other biographies by people who were less prominent in our society. Okay. Should I add one more, or do we want to stop now?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, would you please add one more?
Yeah. When he was, like just before he took sannyas, when he was still Nimai Pandit, he did a drama. And in the drama, the devotees were given different parts. So, Haridas Thakur played a watchman in the drama. And it was a drama about Lakshmi Narayan. And I don't remember the whole pastime, but one point which is significant in the pastime is that Lord Chaitanya played the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. He he played the female role. And when people were watching, they couldn't recognize who that was. And so Mother Sachi, she, the mother of Lord Chaitanya, she was sitting there. And one of her friends said, Sachi Mata, your son is playing Lakshmi. She said, no, that's not him. Yeah, that's him. Wow, he's so beautiful. So he could play a very beautiful lady. And he did. So much so that everybody was amazed that he actually played such a expert role of Lakshmi Devi in this drama. You can read about that one. I think that's in Chaitanya Mangala, or maybe it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, maybe either one. It's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya liked to play dramas with his associates, like Krishna's Leelas. Okay, so any comments?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj. Oh, Shamagori, please go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, hi Krishna. I just wanted to ask if we know who the dancing puppy was.
He was a dancing puppy, that's all.
Okay.
He wasn't anybody other than a puppy who became a great soul simply by getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It wasn't like he was a great soul before then. No, this was the power of Lord Chaitanya. He could take an ordinary puppy. This is an ordinary puppy, that's all. And he turned him into a, yeah, lover of Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That puppy was so fortunate.
Yeah. There's not too many stories of him liberating cats, but but I guess if we did some real serious research, we might find something.
I'll just keep praying for my cats and hope that they keep coming to class.
Yeah. They're guaranteed a good person in their next life.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful, wonderful class. So I request devotees, if they have any questions, they can ask Maharaj. They can unmute themselves.
Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Your Holiness. Thank you so much for this absolutely enchanting recounting of Lord Chaitanya's wonderful naughty pranks. You transported us to Navadvip Dham. It was wonderful. Guru Maharaj, we here also.
I'm glad somebody made it.
Oh, it was wonderful, Guru Maharaj. We were all there. Guru Maharaj, we hear so much about, you know, the naughtiness and the enchanting pranks, but we also hear that the Lord would crack a lot of jokes and make the devotees laugh and laugh. I have never heard any of the jokes that Lord Chaitanya cracked. Do we know anything? Would you be able to tell us about the jokes he said?
Yeah, Prabhupada said he only told one joke to his wife because he only joked with his intimate associates, that's all. Not with ladies or not with public. Only with his most intimate associates. When they would come together in one place and do kirtan, sometimes they would sit and talk. about Krishna. This is when he would tell jokes. But none of those jokes are known. Nothing has been written about it. Only that Prabhupada said he was very funny. One time he joked to his mother. And his mother was looking for something. And he said, and probably Vishnu Priya, she took it. So he was joking in that way. But that's the only thing. That's the only thing. Prabhupada actually makes that point. And this is the only time he actually made a joke in public. Best of the time was only with his intimate associates. That was, yeah. Sorry, we don't have any, but you can see he was always playing pranks and doing mischievous things, which causing sometimes some laughter and sometimes some distress.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Very beautiful pastimes. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for a wonderful session and for so many beautiful pastimes that you narrated very, very nicely. Maharaj, we have a question in the chat also. Would you like to take that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for such a wonderful narration of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I always struggle to understand the pastime with Chota Haridas. How does that align with his supremely merciful nature? He only asked or begged for some rice for Mahaprabhu's seva from an old lady and was banished from serving Mahaprabhu for life. This is from D. Yeah.
Well, if you read the chapter, at the end of the chapter, there are seven reasons why Lord Chaitanya did what he did. There's seven reasons that are given. But he wanted to teach the strictness of the sannyas ashram. That was the main thing. Because Chota Haridas apparently was, when he went to beg from Madhavi Devi, Madhavi Devi was an intimate associate of the Lord. She was said Lord Chaitanya had 3.5 intimate associates. Ramananda Roy, Sarup Damodar, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi Devi. But we don't know of any pastimes that the Lord spent time with Madhavi Devi. But that's what it's mentioned. And Chota Haridas, his mind became changed when he was in the association of Madhavi Devi. And he was in the renounced order of life. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to use him as an example. But if you read the chapter, you'll find that after he committed suicide, he took on a celestial body, and every night he would be singing to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would be hearing it. So Lord Chaitanya kept his association with him, but it wasn't on the physical platform. It was on the subtle platform. That's mentioned. But if you read the chapter, you'll find that there's seven reasons, and it's all centered around the sannyasa order of life.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All the Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, if you don't mind, can you elaborate a little bit more on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only having 3.5 intimate associates? What does that mean?
What kind of elaboration are you looking for?
Yeah, I wasn't sure, Maharaj. You know, why are these three, like, we hear so many pastimes with many associates. Why are they so special? I was just curious, Maharaj.
Well, we know of the intimacy between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. That's in the 8th chapter of Madhya Leela. Confidential talks between the two of them. We don't find any written material about Sikhi Mahiti or Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi Devi. Both were considered intimate. Sarup Damodar was Lord Chaitanya's complete personal servant, and he would take care of Lord Chaitanya's all secretarial needs. And when Lord Chaitanya was in the last stages of his life, it was him, Ramananda Roy, who would come to Lord Chaitanya and chant the prayers of Chandi Devi and Jayadev Goswami and Vidyapati, which were the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan through poetry and song. So they were the only two people that were allowed to be with Lord Chaitanya in his last days, because the Lord was in his mood of pure bhakti to Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So his ecstasies were continuous at that time. So we know about Sarup Damodar Goswami, we know about Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti and his sister Madhavi Devi, we don't know. It's just not, but it does say that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami sometimes mentions something, but he doesn't elaborate on it. You might be able to find something about Sikhi Mahiti if you did a little research, but I don't know any pastimes of Sikhi Mahiti and Lord Chaitanya.
Okay, Maharaj. Yeah, I was just curious. Even when Ramananda Ramayya and Sarup Damodar were mentioned, why were they specially called out? Because we know Lord Chaitanya performed pastimes with many, many associates like Nityananda and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and many other devotees. Right? I was just curious why they were specially called out.
Well, who is Sarup Damodar Goswami? He's Lalita in Krishna Leela. Who is Ramananda Roy? He's Vishakha in Krishna Leela. And Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani. So there, you might say that they're intimate, friendly relationships from Krishna Leela is now manifesting again in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes total sense, Maharaj. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your beautiful class. Very nice pastimes. So if no one has any questions, we can end the class. Yeah.
Thank you for being so patient. I'm sorry I was late today. Things got a little confused.
That's okay, Maharaj. Let's pay our obeisances to Maharaj. Vancha
kalpatarvasya. Vipinana pravani vyo vishnavi vyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna, Lalita,
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.